I had suffered a traumatic brain injury and was in a coma for 10 days and spent 32 days in the hospital. I had to relearn how to do everything again when I woke up, and my whole life changed after that. And so, you know, getting kind of a second chance, so to speak, at living life, you know, it empowers me to do all the things I've done so far.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools and make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and with me is Scott Bauer. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
And so, Scott, you are a real estate wholesaler, and then you're also in the apartment world as well. So why don't you give our listeners a little bit about what you are doing and where you're heading right now?
Definitely. So I'm here in the Phoenix, Arizona metro market, and own HBSB Holdings, which is we do 99% of what we do is wholesaling single family houses. I have a vacation rental property in Scottsdale, as well as in Mesa, and a triplex in Phoenix. And now we're moving into the larger multifamily space, so 50 to 100 units. Really been moving since 2013. I got my real estate license in 2013 and was a realtor for about a year before I learned that there were other ways that you can make money in real estate. I joined the local RIA here in Phoenix and figured this out. And really, that was liberating because I did not like being a realtor. Was good at it, but wasn't my cup of tea. So, you know, through a partnership that I had with somebody to get started in the wholesaling game, and then breaking off onto my own, you know, the last 2 years, we've doubled the revenue for the business year over year for the last 4 years, which has been really exciting.
So talk to me a little bit about, you know, like the wholesaling. I know what wholesaling is, but I've never done it really myself. I mean, I guess I've offloaded a couple properties. I wouldn't necessarily call it wholesaling as a professional. So tell me and our audience a little bit more about what wholesaling is, and then how do you do it? How do you make money off of it?
Definitely. So really, really wholesaling, I mean, in essence, you're selling the paper. So I go, let's say that you're a seller and you're in a situation where you need to sell, you know, quickly, or you have distress in your property or in your life, or there's some motivation for you to get out, you know, quickly. You'd be open to a cash offer. So I'd send out direct mail. We have some Google pay-per-clicks. We have some online marketing that we do as well. and you get my ad in the mail, you get my, you know, you see something online and you click on it and, you know, we reach out to you, figure out kind of what your situation is, and then we'll come out and evaluate the property, and then we'll make you a cash offer. Typically those offers are anywhere from 50 to 70% of the after repair value of that property. And we can close very quickly. We can close in a matter of days, you know, 3-4 days, as soon as the title is all done, running all their paperwork, getting a title commitment. Or we can give you time. And so for you as a seller, it's very, very advantageous if, you know, there's either a lot of repairs that need to be done to your property that you don't have money to do, or if you inherit a property and you just want to get it sold. Or, I mean, frankly, if you just don't want to list with a realtor, because, I mean, we all know that that process is not simple. In today's market, with how lending is, you know, post 2009 and 10, it's not quite as easy to get loans as it used to be. And so, and it's a little bit more difficult for people. So the worst thing for a seller is if somebody ties up your property and you're in escrow for 30 or 45 days just to come and find out that, oh, this buyer at the very end of the, you know, at the end of the day can't even qualify for the loan. And thus now you have a property that didn't get sold. So the way that I make money, I like to keep it really simple. So if I have, say I have a contract here. Okay. And here it is. And I pass over the contract to you and say, hey, I'll give you $100,000 for your house. And you say, okay, great. You sign on the line, I sign on the line. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over and I'm going to find either, I'm going to go to my investors. I'm going to see who's actually going in and fix and flipping properties. Because as a fix and flipper, your job is not to find these off-market deals. It's to actually go in and do the work. I mean, that's what you're good at. And a lot of times, you know, those fix and flippers are not capable of finding good off-market deals. You're not going to find them on the MLS. Or at least most likely, you're not going to be able to get them at a steep enough discount. And so when you're buying them from me, you're getting still a good deal. And so anyways, back to the example, I take the property to you and I say, hey, do you want to buy this for $110,000? You know, after you fix it up, it's worth $160,000 and maybe take you 15 or 20 to fix it up. And so there's a margin in there for you. That fix and flippers are going to say, yeah, that sounds like a good deal. So I said, great. And I assign my contract over to them. Or depending on the spread that you're going to make, you could also do what's called a double escrow, but I won't get into that because that's a little bit more detailed. And so when you go to the title company, where you send your assignment to the title company, and the title company, basically whoever you assigned it to is now the true buyer. So when they come to the closing table, they're going to bring the $110,000. 100 of it goes to the seller, and me as the middleman wholesaler, I put 10 in my pocket. Now it's advantageous for me because I literally have no risk. I don't have any of my money tied up in the property. I'm really selling that piece of paper for $10,000. And the crazy thing about it is that you can make spreads that are just as much, if not more, in some scenarios than you would on a fix and flip deal. So if I am a fix and flipper and I'm going to go buy a property, you know, if I'm going to make $20,000, you know, $30,000 at the end of that deal, some people would say that's great, but you have to take into consideration what your cost of money is to acquire that. The cost of that flip. So, you know, let's say it takes you 3 months. Well, you have 3 months of taxes. You have 3 months of insurance. You have 3 months of that hard money or whatever private money you have. And you also have the potential risk of something going wrong with that property. You know, you open up a wall and you find black mold, or you find out that the plumbing is galvanized plumbing from the 1920s or 30s or whatever, and it's caved in, and oh, by the way, it's part of the foundation, so now you have to replace the whole foundation. I mean, these are just some things that you could run into. As a wholesaler, I don't worry about any of that. I sleep very nice at night.
So do you ever close on a property and then sell it?
Or yeah Yeah. So in that scenario, there's some times when we need to close like quickly. There's somebody, there's a, you know, someone that needs to close in 3 days or 4 days. And so in that case, I will close on the property and then I'll market it, you know, on my own. And so the spreads, you know, at that point, I have private money. So I'm still paying private money for that short amount of time. Typically, I mean, it's normally 30 days or less. So I'm paying 30 days of interest and that's it.
And then with that type of deal, do you make sure there's more of a spread or is it, do you do anything to mitigate your risk?
You know, if you can, yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not making $1,000. The spreads go from 10 to 80 grand. I mean, it really just depends on, sure. on the deal. So sure. I can afford to, you know, pay 30 days interest on, if I'm going to be making a spread that's, you know, healthy, which is typically the case.
Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you find these houses. Let's give away your secrets right now. And how do you find these? How are you actually getting these houses at prices that, why can't I get them?
Yeah. So really anybody can do it. And I mean, my secret sauce is a very old way of doing it, and it's direct mail. Here in Phoenix, we're in a very competitive market, and my direct mail works. I've spent a lot of money online, both in Google AdWords, pay-per-click, Facebook target marketing, Bing, you know, all of the online platforms. I've tried them out. I mean, I've spent probably $50,000 online trying to find deals, and it's just much more difficult. It's not the way that works for me. Hmm. And it's also the list. So when I'm mailing properties with direct mail, it's about the list that you get. So if you're, and you have to test this. And so over the last 4 years, I've tested every type of list out there to try to find, you know, what works best for me and what I like. So, you know, you can find probate lists depending on your market, because every market's a bit different, but
yeah,
you could be in probate, you could find tax lien properties, you could find pre-foreclosures, you could find a deceased list. You know, you find you get a list of people that have recently deceased. Well, they have properties. You can go to probate, you know, you can make relationships with probate attorneys. You can make, I mean, there's just so many different ways that you can find these different types of properties. Cause you're ultimately looking at, why would somebody have a distressed property? And any of those really have merit to being good, solid properties.
Yeah. So you're going in, you're finding your list. And I get these letters from wholesalers all the time because I've owned a bunch of rental properties. So I'm assuming I'm on one of the lists where, you know, landlord or something, whatever it is.
Absentee owner.
Absentee owner. Yeah. Yep. So you find that, that's your list. You go in, you send them a letter. How often do you send letters out and what does it take to get these things?
So here in Phoenix, I send between 16 and 20,000 mailers per month, every wow. single month. Wow. And every month it goes out, it's very systematized now. Every Friday, we drop new mail. So at the beginning of a month, a new list is pulled, for the most part, of that 20,000. And then we break that up, depending on how many weeks are in the month. We just want to make sure that we're going out every single week. And so here in Phoenix, I get about a half of 1% response rate on the mail, which depending on your market, you know, that's low because of the competitive nature that we have here.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, about one in every 25 phone calls that come in is a deal that I've figured out over the last 4 years. That's about the numbers.
So... yeah, so kind of slim, but you only need one deal. So if you get about a half, I mean, but you're sending 16,000 letters out, that's still 80 phone calls.
Yep. So
and then out of how many phone calls does it take to get a deal?
26. 26 is the average.
So, I mean, out of 1,600 letters, you get three deals.
16,000, yeah.
16,000.
And so those are new deals. And so that's about right. So it's 3 to 5 is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
But the other important thing is the follow-up. So I make all my money in the follow-up. You know, the three deals that I'm getting out of every single mail consistently of new deals, there's also the follow-up from all the previous, you know, mailings that I've done. Because just because somebody gets a letter today doesn't mean they're going to call me today. They might not be in a scenario today where they need to sell. But, you know, in the language that I have in the letter and the way that my letter is set up, it's, you know, if even if not interested in selling today, please just hold the letter, because that's sometime, you know, you might.
Do you continue to mail the same people?
So there's a time on it, really. Yeah. So 3 months, I'll mail the same list, but there might be a little bit of variation because I like to still pull the new types of that list every month. But sure. Because so high equity and free and clear properties is really my money maker. That's what I have found to be the best type of list. So every single day, there's new people that pay off their loan. There's yep. new people that have high equity now. Yep. So every month I'll still re-pull those lists, but it'll still have all the same people as the last month as well.
Okay. That makes sense. Cool. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk more about the business side of it. Why don't you give us kind of one of your biggest failures that you've had in business so far?
You know, there's little failures that you do all along the way. You know, and I always call it failing forward. So you're always learning, right? And I've been, I guess, very blessed that I haven't had a scenario now where I've done something so catastrophic that it's totally pushed me back. You know, I continue to just keep moving forward. So I like to learn from the little mistakes that I make and keep moving forward. So if I think about a failure that I've had, it could have been that I didn't leverage the relationship with Corey Peterson. You know, when we kind of separated, which was the first partner that I had, that kind of introduced me to the wholesaling market. He had already bought some apartment units and he had a big vision, but I didn't want to work for him. And that was ultimately why I left. And now, I mean, he's gone on and he's bought a lot of apartments and, you know, that's ultimately what I want to do. So maybe if I would have tried to leverage that relationship a little bit more, and, you know, it's hard for me to say that because I did offer that to him prior to our separation, was how can we make this work for both of us? And he didn't want to do that. Basically meaning, how do you want to be my partner? Either we're going to be partners or I'm going to go do this on my own. And he said he doesn't want to be partners. So I left. And, you know, that would be a, you know, I guess a failure, so to speak, if I was the same one.
Yeah, figure out how to leverage that relationship. That's fine. So for someone that's trying to get to that next level, get to kind of where you're at, where you've got the successful wholesaling business and you're stepping now into your next venture of these apartments, you know, what does it take to get there? What does it take to get to where you're at right now and to the next level too?
So I would tell anybody out there that the number one thing you have to do is invest in yourself and make sure that you have confidence in yourself, because no matter what, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to believe in you. When I first started so when I left Corey, I didn't have any money. Actually, that the month was June of 2015. And him and I, basically, I was doing all the work for him. He was paying for the marketing, and I was doing everything else to make the deals happen. That was the acquisitions, that was the dispositions, that was going on the appointments, answering the phone calls. I was doing everything. So that month, he made like $90,000, and I made like $7,500. And so that was really when I was like, okay, I'm out, right? So I didn't have any money, but I knew that I had to surround myself with the right people and I had to invest in myself. So what I did, I knew I want to start my own wholesaling operation. So I went and borrowed 10 grand from my mom and signed up for a coaching platform, Real Estate Worldwide with Kent Clothier, to basically have that support to make sure that I wasn't doing anything wrong. And, you know, that was a stretch. And then after that, once I got kind of, I got things rolling. I mean, my very first drop on my own, I dropped 10,000 letters. I mean, I just basically, if you're going to do it, commit to it and go full out, because it was like, you have to do that. If you try to dabble in the water and just put your toe in, it's not going to work. If you're going to do it, commit to it, fully commit to it, and, you know, burn the boats, which is exactly what I kind of had to do. I knew that there was no way that I was going to go work for anybody ever again in my life. And I still feel that way in a sense of a W-2 employee, right? I'm never going to have a boss, so to speak, where somebody controls my time.
Yeah.
Because ultimately that's the one commodity that we all have a limited amount of, and nobody knows when our time is up. Right. So, that would be what I would tell somebody is surround yourself with the right people and commit to investing in yourself.
Awesome. I love it. So take us, you kind of maybe covered a little bit just now, but take us through that mind shift of becoming an entrepreneur. Cause you had a full job and then you started working with Corey, but you're basically working for him. Mm-hmm. Now you're doing what you're doing. So take us through that mind shift of how you became the entrepreneur.
So really it stems back even before I moved to Arizona. I moved to Arizona in 2012, January 15th, 2012, after graduating from the University of Iowa, which is where I'm from. Prior to that though, when I was a junior in high school, I started my first company, which was a car detailing company. And through that, I met my first mentor and kind of first guru. He was the president of the nation's third largest third party logistics company, which at the time was called Jacobson Logistics. And while I was in college, or I guess prior to that, when I was detailing all of his cars, we just built a great relationship. So when I went to college, he said, why don't you come work, you know, with me at Jacobson, and I'll teach you every part about it. And then when you graduate from college, you can have a job anywhere in the country, because at the time they had offices everywhere. So that's ultimately how I got to Phoenix, because it was Atlanta, Georgia, Phoenix, Arizona, or Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which out of the three, hands down, Phoenix won. Right. So, and that was the first job. I mean, ultimately when I got here, I worked in logistics sales for a year prior to getting into real estate. And the reason why I got into real estate was because I was tired of working for somebody else, even in that 1 year. I mean, I have been an entrepreneur forever, just in the sense of it's a mindset. Yeah. That I want to control my time. I want to be the one to make the decision. I don't want to have somebody tell me when and where I need to be and how much I'm going to get paid and, you know, when I get my time off. That wasn't something that it was negotiable for me, which is why I left. You know, I ended up leaving at the time, when I think about it, I was making really good money right out of college, you know, in sales, but I just didn't have the freedom that I want and will continue to have in my life. So I had to make a change. So that kind of went away from your question a little bit.
No, that works. I mean, I think a lot of people have it. They've got that entrepreneurial, they know that's what they want to do. And you got like sidetracked for a year, but you've been there basically since you said 15 or 16 when you opened that car detailing. Yep. And you know, that's, when I look back at, I would say, you know, I had a job for quite a few more years than that. But, you know, when I was little, I had a lawn mowing landscaping business, and, you know, I always had little businesses that I was doing. And so I think a lot of people are entrepreneurial right from the start. It's a mindset. It's that, you know, that's that belief and this desire. So, what are your goals then moving forward? You've kind of mentioned some of it, but what do you see big picture moving forward? Where are you going to be?
Definitely. So, I mean, right now, over the last 4 years, it's perfecting the systems to make my wholesaling business run, which I run a very small operations myself, my assistant, and then I have one sales guy, and the sales guy is really new. But basically, you know, I've made the business run because I've done all the sales. Well, now, in order to really focus on the business more, I need to step out of the sales role and treat the business like a business, watch it from a high level and not be so much in the weeds. So putting my sales guy in full force, he actually starts on a full-time basis today. So it's pretty exciting. It's an exciting time for me, a little bit scary, but being able to put him in place so that he can work on the acquisitions. And that actually frees up my time to work on apartments. So I'm going back into apartments on a full-time basis. It's something that I've always wanted to do. And I just have been sidetracked with this, with the wholesale business and with single family. And now it's time. And so with freeing up my time in the wholesale business to still make it operate and run, that'll actually allow me to have a lot more time to spend in the multifamily sector. So the long-term goal is to buy a lot of apartments, to buy, you know, the first thing is 1,000 units. And then as soon as I hit that, I'm sure it'll be 5,000 units. And I'm sure after that, there'll be a bigger goal from there. But the reason why is to basically to buy more time and to be able to give more, to be able to have more options, because having more money really doesn't, I mean, it's not that cool. Who cares if you have $100 million, but what do you do with that? How do you make an impact in the world with that money? And that's ultimately what I want to do. I could go back to a previous story that actually has some merit in this kind of what I'm talking about. And that's that when I was 16 years old, I had suffered a traumatic brain injury and was in a coma for 10 days and spent 32 days in the hospital. I had to relearn how to do everything again when I woke up, and my whole life changed after that. And so, you know, getting kind of a second chance, so to speak, at living life, you know, it empowers me to do all the things I've done so far and to keep on moving forward and to get to where I have funds that I can go, that I can give to help out, you know, other people in a very big way.
Yeah, that's cool. I love it. What are three key factors to your success?
Number one is leverage. So leveraging relationships is it's so true. It's who you know. It's not what you know. Who you surround yourself with is super, super important. You know, if you don't, you know, this real estate thing is not rocket science and it's not new. So there's no need to reinvent the wheel. Everybody's done it before you. Just go copy what they've done and you'll see the same success. Don't try to go reinvent the wheel or you'll end up getting yourself out of business. So one is leverage. The other one I would say, which is really important, is your integrity. Because in the real estate business, across the board, no matter where you're at, your integrity is what matters. If you know, it seems to be a pretty small circle. When you start to look at it at a big level, it's a pretty small circle. So if you do something that's going to burn somebody, or you burn relationships, or you don't have integrity with what you say you're going to do, then it's going to come around, and it's probably going to come around in a lot worse way than, you know, what it might have if you would have had integrity. So that's number two. And number three is do not give up. You know, you can never fail if you never give up. And so I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people kind of brush over, is that you can never give up. When things get tough, there's a reason. It's an opportunity for you to learn. It's nothing more than that. But unless you give in and you give up, then you'll never be defeated.
Yeah. Going back to integrity, it just, for me, it, you know, it's so funny, 'cause I talk to a lot of lot of investors, and I'll be talking to an investor and they'll mention somebody, another, you know, real estate investor that I know or somebody else that they did business with. You know, I had a conversation not too long ago, and this has happened tons of times, but conversation not too long ago with one of my investors, Chris, and you know, he was talking about this deal that he just invested in. And I'm like, he's describing this deal. I'm like, oh, I know whose deal that is. You know, that, yeah, I talked to that guy quite a bit. And so it's funny that you talk about the small world, and it is. I mean, I don't think it really matters whatever industry you're in, but having that integrity, and, you know, people will tell me about a deal and they get all nervous about telling you about something. It's like, look, I'm not going to steal your deal. I'm not going to steal. Like, it doesn't matter. There's 10 other deals. I would rather pass up on this deal that you tell me about than even consider getting involved in it. You know, I just met with a guy today, and he was introduced to me by a real estate broker. And then, so we're sitting down, and he goes, hey, are you a real estate agent? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, awesome. You're a real estate agent. You can do that part for me too. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. This other person, you know, that introduced us is a real estate agent. They're going to represent you. I'm not going to represent you. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's really good. I'm like, well, you know, there's no, yeah. Could I have made an extra, you know, 30, 40 grand? Sure. But I would rather keep that relationship than, so yeah, that integrity, like you mentioned, it's just huge. So,
I mean, it's really, it's super massive. You just hit it on the nose.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. So, favorite book or webpage?
Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah. Love
Napoleon
it.
Hill. Something, you know, I'd also say, that is by far my favorite book. Every time I read it, I learn something new every single time, and think about things on a different level. What I'm reading right now is a little bit different. It's called A New Earth, which is, not a real estate book, but it's more of a mindset book, and, definitely would encourage anybody to read that. But yeah, Think and Grow Rich.
Cool. Yeah, that's a definitely great book if you haven't read it. And if you have, and it's been, you know, a few years, I would read it again or listen to it. I've got the audio version, so I listen to it. You know, I try to listen to it once every year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read it probably 3 or 4 times as well. Mm-hmm. You learn something, like you said, you learn something new every time. And part of the reason why you learn something new every time is because it's written in, you know, 19, whatever. It's like... different language than what you're used to.
yep, definitely.
Yeah. Last question before we wrap this up is, what's your definition of the secret of financial freedom?
Ooh. Definition of financial freedom.
Your definition, not just
my definition. Being able to do what I want, when I want, with who I want, without having to worry about financials at all.
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, it's encompassing all of that. So if I, you know, with my family, if I want to go somewhere, if I want to donate, you know, a certain capital amount to some cause for something, or, you know, I want to help somebody gets sick, or a family member, whatever it is, I want to be able to be there for them. Definitely.
Awesome. So, Scott, I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your insights. How can people get in contact with you and learn more about what you're doing and get to know you?
Definitely. So I would say, go to my website. It's www.hbsbholdings.com. There's a contact us page on there. You can contact me that way. Also, find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn. Just search Scott Bauer, and I'll pop up. We have a pretty good presence on there. So Happy to answer any questions. Love talking to other people and helping them either get started with their business, or if there's any way, anything I can do to help them move their business forward in any other way. You know, the other thing you could do is I have another podcast myself. It's called Invest This Podcast. So go to investthispodcast.com and you can find me there as well.
Awesome. And what's that podcast cover?
So it's an interview-based podcast interviewing real estate investors and real estate people from across, you know, from everything in real estate. It's very, very cool. You learn a lot. Every single episode is educational and allows people to look at real estate in a different light.
Awesome. Well, Scott, I appreciate it. And you have a great rest of the day.
You do the same. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate Scott Bauer coming on the show and giving us his time and value. Three things I took from it with Scott is, one, leverage, and he talked specifically about leveraging relationships. Of course, you have to add value to them, but they're going to add value to you. So leveraging your relationships, and that goes a long, long ways with building a positive, successful business. So make sure you're doing that. You're providing other people value, but in return, they're going to end up providing you a lot of value as well. And leverage what your strengths are versus what other people's strengths are. Know that you're not going to be strong at everything. So you have to use the power of other people that are going to be better at you at certain things. The other thing is integrity. Having the utmost integrity is obviously extremely important. And I don't think I need to dwell too much upon that. Have extreme integrity, treat people with complete respect and integrity, and you're going to have positive results out of that as well. And then the last thing is don't give up. You never fail if you don't give up. So don't give up, keep on pushing, and keep on striving for your goals, and they will eventually come. It might take a while, but your goals will eventually come if you just don't give up and you keep on pushing and you find new ways to get past the adversity. So appreciate Scott again for coming on the show and giving us his valuable insights. You can check him out at investthispodcast.com. Check out his podcast. Good stuff there. And then go on to our Facebook page. It's Pillars of Wealth Creation Facebook page. And you can give us a rating. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes as well. That's it. I am signing off. Make every day a Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. Claim your free course today.